Good morning. As we prepare to worship our Lord this morning, let us join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I hope you wake up a little bit before we get to the regular hymns. You've got to be a little bit louder during that. We want to welcome all of you here this morning and a special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. I see several bright, cheerful faces out there that I do not recognize, and we want you to know that you are certainly welcome among us here this morning. We hope that you feel welcome and that you will have a meaningful worship experience with us. We hope that you'll come back to visit us often. And if you are a visitor looking for a church home, as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you would give us your address and phone number, that will give us an opportunity to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So at this time, if you would please pass those attendance pads down the pews, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. One announcement this morning, a reminder that immediately following our 11 o'clock service today, we will be packing pills for the Honduras medical mission trip that Josh and Steve Skinner and Mary Kate Dula are going on. We've got 64,000 pills that we need to pack, so every hand will certainly help and make the task go much quicker. There'll be a light lunch served, so anyone that can stay after the service today and help us pack those pills, your help would be greatly appreciated. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Will you please stand for the call to worship? Arise, for our light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon us. The shadows of the world have been dispersed through God's gift of Jesus. Let us rejoice and lift up our eyes to see God's light as it dwells in us, filling us with faith, hope, and love. Please be seated. And join me as we pray the invocation as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. O God, as we join in worship, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Open our hearts to believe unto salvation and righteousness. Open our lips to witness our living Lord, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As we come to our prayer time, I want to call your attention to our many concerns. Someone mentioned this morning that our concern list is growing, and it is. I want to add to our concern list Bruce and Lois Higginbotham at the loss of their son, Norman, and to lift up in a special way Chuck Drake, Bobby Kahn, Alma Cromer, Jim and Ruth Medley, Karen Dent, Ray Ballantyne, Bette McCord-Bly, and add George Harris, who had a procedure to remove a kidney stone this past week. And those of you who've suffered through that know that that is a very painful thing. And I myself, you've been praying for, and I am without my arm brace this morning, but against medical advice. So continue to pray for me. And suffered through some gout this past week, which is not a good thing. And someone accused me this morning of drinking cheap whiskey. No, that's not the case. It's something that runs in the family and gets me from time to time. But let us have these concerns in our prayers, and also our capital campaign, which we begin today. I want you, some of you, come in this way and go out that way and don't ever really notice. There's a banner, a brand new banner that our youth have done right behind us with our theme verse which we will hear in context today from 2 Corinthians. But with our church and with these concerns and our private concerns and our hearts and minds, let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we celebrate with the wise men the heavenly light and the discovery of the light of the world, Jesus the Christ. God of light, make us faithful and give us light sufficient for each step of our way. And help us to spread the light you have given us. Help us to live our lives in accordance with your great commission to make disciples in those common everyday places where we walk. Help children and mothers and fathers to know what is enough and to be satisfied with what is enough. Enough of food, enough of clothing and shelter and things. Help us to live with what you have given us and to give away what we have in abundance in Christ's name. Lord, we come to worship you. We come to praise you and to pray for one another. And we come to ask you to dwell in us more fully, that we may go forth with the light of your hope in our eyes and with your faith and love in our hearts. Make us and mold us in your image. We give ourselves as clay in your ever-creating hands, knowing that whatever our shape, we still need more perfecting to be useful to you. Lord, we do now lift before you these concerns we have listed in our bulletin, these concerns we lift before you in our hearts, with our thanksgivings and our confessions as well. Hear now the private prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the babe of Bethlehem, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I am going to invite forward now our capital campaign speakers. And as they come forward, I'll ask them all to come forward at once and then speak in turn. As they come forward, I will remind you that it is a capital campaign to pay off the loan, the debt, for the renovation and the new building construction. And if you do not specifically pledge and give to that campaign, there is nothing in the budget which pays down that debt. This is an effort to pay that debt off in 3 years, if possible.
Good morning. All of you who know me know that I am not a speaker. But I was asked to come up here this morning, and seriously, I appreciated the invitation. And I am to talk on the building, our building program. When we were offered the Chipley property, I was 100% for it. I came to the meetings, I voted for it, and did the whole bit. However, I had thought to pay off that debt before we started another building. Remember, I'm from the nickel and dime era, and I don't think when you talk big talk, you scare me. The plans were presented and explained many times. Along with the Asbury Outreach Center, there would be many much-needed repairs and renovations to the present Cambridge building and the area around it. You remember at that time, the offices were located in the Susanna Asbury building. Now that we have our new building, I see the future of Main Street Methodist Church right over there. There's something for everybody, and especially something for the children, and the children would be our future. A great section for the youth, and that too is our future. If you've ever visited over there and been in Joyce Nichols' kind of music, you just want to stay and be with that enthusiastic little group. I was telling Bette and Chuck, I thought there were a few things maybe we could have left off. And I was telling Bette and Chuck that we have a full basketball court. And Chuck said, man, Henny, that's the best thing you could do. That's where your youth will be from now on. So I stand corrected. So what more can we ask for? We have a gorgeous sanctuary, a fine new facility, a fine young minister, an excellent choir and organist, a great working staff, an enthusiastic youth leader, and who could ask for better than Bill White and his crew? So now I feel that we need to practice Shell Doula's tactics and go together as a team with each member pulling a fair share. When you make out your personal budget for the year 2007, along with the utilities and the debts that we might have, let's include the new building, Asbury Outreach Center. And each month, write a check along with that. Thank you.
When they asked me to do this, I was very reluctant. I know those of you who know me wondered at my reluctance ever to talk. But what they wanted was someone who had been in this church a long time. And I was really, literally born into this church, was baptized as an infant, and have loved it more each year. I do want to tell those of you who are young, you do love it more each year. Something about it, this is truly a sanctuary. It is, it's just something that every integral part of my life has been connected with it, and I do love it so. So I thought, well, if I could speak out something about my church. But they also wanted someone who was not for building the new building. I fit that bill also. I was like Henny, even we had just bought the Chipley house, and we needed a lot of work done in other areas of the church. So I felt at the time, Henny and I are guests of an era that little more cautious about debt. We were worried about getting on into such debt for the church. So again, I spoke out saying that I was not really for building it at that time. But I think the Lord meant for us to build it then. When I look at all the things, we have this wonderful building over there. He sent us Jim to help us all these other fine young people who are working, raise the money. And I thought, when you ride down Main Street, which I do every day, and go by and see that wonderful emblem of the cross and the flame, to me it is sending the most wonderful message for everyone, rather than letting our church dwindle. And in this world today, there are a lot of things that are against the principles that we had wanted and wanted for our church to go forward. When you look at that, you think, well, we are reaching out and growing rather than giving way. So I now have said how wonderful. I feel that the Lord spoke to us and built it. We have it, but now we must pay for it. So I just hope all of us are going to be behind this capital campaign and do the very best that we can, because I'm sure all of us love this church. Thank you.
Good morning. I expect many of you recognize my wife Nora and me as newcomers to Main Street. After all, it's only been 2 years. As active Methodists for all our adult life, we looked for a church home in Greenwood and felt Main Street would best suit our needs. An urban church, but importantly, one that was moving forward, moving ahead, progressing. Asbury Outreach Center is one good example of this, as it ministers to both our members and the community. But with Asbury Center came a substantial obligation, which needs to be attacked again as the initial 3-year pledges phase out. We plan to make a 3-year pledge later this month as part of the new campaign. It might have been easier for us to think of personal usefulness. I believe we're a tad too old for the gym. We have no family in the area, etc. But we vowed to uphold our church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. We believe a campaign pledge is the right thing for us. As a committee member, I would ask you to watch for the information coming your way this month. Get involved in the activities. Get caught up in the excitement as it leads you to make your own personal decision. Thank you.
I want to thank Henny and G and Elmer, and I want to invite the young people down front, the young children, for the children's message this morning with Lee Roberts.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Ready to start school back tomorrow? No, not too thrilled about that. Well, who had a good Christmas? Oh, everybody had a good Christmas. And whose birthday was it? Jesus' birthday. Yes, yes. Well, I want to tell y'all a story today about a real-life almost Grinch. Who has seen the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas or read the book? Okay, most of you have. Well, this story is about the town of Whoville, and everybody was happy in Whoville except who? The Grinch. The Grinch didn't like anything. The Grinch especially did not like Christmas. And he developed a plan where he was going to do what? He was going to steal all the presents and the Christmas trees and even the Christmas dinner of all the people in Whoville because he wanted everybody to be as miserable as him, right? Isn't that pretty much the story? Why was he so miserable? He lived all by himself. He didn't have anybody to love him. You're right. Except his dog, yeah. Thank goodness for dogs, right? Gotta have some dogs. That one was for Reverend Jim. He loves dogs. Now, the true Grinch in the Bible is King Herod. And let me tell you the story about him. We're studying Epiphany right now. Did y'all study that in Sunday school today? The 12 days after? You didn't? Well, let me tell you about it. Epiphany is the time after Christmas when the wise men actually arrived at the manger of baby Jesus. The wise men had seen the star in the sky, and they were going and following the star, but they didn't know where to go. So they were asking questions where the king of the Jews was born, where the newborn king. Well, Herod found out about this, and he's going, there's going to be another king other than me? Oh, my. He got very angry, very upset, very jealous, because he didn't want anybody else to be king. So he told the wise men, he says, well, I tell you what, when you find out where this newborn baby king is, you come back and let me know. You come back and tell me where this baby king is. And you know what? He wanted to really kill baby Jesus. Oh, my word. Now, if that isn't being Grinch-like, I don't know what. So the wise men, they found baby Jesus and they brought him presents and they worshiped him and they spent time there with baby Jesus. And while they were there, an angel of the Lord came to them and said, don't go back and tell Herod where baby Jesus is. You just go straight back home. And also an angel of the Lord came to Joseph, who's baby Jesus' daddy, and said, get out of Bethlehem. Take Mary and baby Jesus and go to Egypt. Get away from here. This is bad news. So Herod never found where baby Jesus was because the wise men listened to God because the angel came and talked to him. And Joseph listened to God because the angel came and talked to him, and baby Jesus was safe. So Herod was almost a true life Grinch. But thank goodness the wise men and Joseph both listened to God and obeyed God. And we can have the Christmas story, and we can have the history of Jesus' birth, his life and his death, because he's saving us from sin. Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the joy that your son's birth has brought us. And let us spread this joy not only during the Christmas season, but throughout the year. Amen.
Let us pass the peace.
Our Old Testament scripture for today comes to us from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, the first six verses. You will find that on page 844 in your Pew Bible, and the Revised Standard Version, which I am also reading. This is the vision of the prophet Isaiah. It was spoken in the darkness and the drear time of defeat after the exiles had returned from Babylon, and they, along with those people who had left behind at the time of the exile, were really feeling depressed. And through this vision, Isaiah tells them that the light of God will shine. Will shine on Jerusalem that they are trying to rebuild. This is the way Isaiah says it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the ripeness and brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba will come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. epistle reading for today comes to us from the from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 7th through the 15th verses, and you'll find that on page 223 in the Pew Bible. These verses help us to hear what Paul is writing to the Corinthians about the offering for which he is asking them to send, and it will be sent to the poor people in the church in Jerusalem. Now you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in your love for Christ. So we want you to excel also in generous giving. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you to begin as you did last year, but not only to do that, not only to do something, but even to desire to be something. Now finish doing it so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We give thee but thine own, and we pray your blessings upon it to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel lesson is found on page 2 of the Pew Bibles, Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when this star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now you may wonder why we bother with the wise men story. You may think, I already know that story. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. One of my favorite Christmas cards has a Far Side cartoon on the cover. And in the cartoon, there are three wise men at the door of the manger scene with their gifts in hand. And there's a fourth wise man with his head down, kind of walking away. And the caption says, unbeknownst to most theologians, there was a fourth wise man who was turned away for bringing a fruitcake. Now, I love fruitcake, but in moderation. Now, that's not true. But trust me, there are things that you probably don't know about this story. How many wise men were there? Most people answer three. But we really don't know. The Bible doesn't say. There could have been two or five or 10 or 20. The number three comes from legend and a guess from the number of gifts. And what were their names? Most people know that the legend says Melchior and Balthazar and Gaspar, but the Bible does not say. They are only mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, and the names and the number are not mentioned. Were they kings? I think you can see where this is going. Well, not according to the Bible. Only Matthew mentions them, and Matthew calls them magi. Magi were many different things, but they were not kings. Magi were Persians. They were not Jewish. And our word magic or magician comes from the word magi. They were horoscope readers, a practice that was condemned by Jewish law. Magi meant in Jesus' time astrologers or fortune tellers or stargazers, and they did not worship the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. Characters of their ilk were also condemned in the New Testament book of Acts. Elymas and Simon Magus were both magi, and they were both condemned for their beliefs and their practices. You may be starting to be angry at me for poking at the tradition. But you need to get the picture. Just like the Good Samaritan story that Jesus told, that parable where the priest and the scribe are not the heroes but the outcast Samaritan, the magi in the history of Jesus' birth were of the wrong race, the wrong denomination, the wrong faith, and yet they, outsiders and ritually and religiously unclean, are the first to honor Jesus as king. The first to honor him by bringing the best they had as gifts to celebrate his birth. You realize, if you think about it, that the very tradition of gift giving at Christmas, the tradition that we continue, and the tradition that we will continue to pay for up until about May, is a tradition that we get from this story, from these outsiders, magi, bringing their best from a far country. From a far country when just 6 miles away in Jerusalem was the temple, the headquarters of all the priests and all the scribes and all the learned men of Israel, Israel, who was told to expect a Messiah 6 miles away, and they were oblivious to his coming and to his star. That may be the major point of this passage. Every time we think we know how and when and where God will act and sit down satisfied, God goes and does something entirely unexpected. Don't ever think you have God in a box. Don't ever think you've got God on your side, figured out and tamed. God will act how God will act. And when God's people stop looking for God to act, this passage says to me that God will find another people who are looking. We must never presume to know what God can and cannot do. and who God can and cannot work through. We want clean-cut, well-scrubbed, rumor-free, community-minded religious heroes above reproach. But that is not what we get in the Magi, nor, when you read it carefully, any other part of the gospel story. The gospel story is not a story of good people getting their just rewards. It is not a story of decent people getting even better by wisdom and understanding. The gospel story is the story of sinners saved by grace. Hopeless, fallen creation redeemed by a loving God who came to us in Jesus Christ. A gift. The ultimate gift of God's love for the world. Jesus Christ. A world filled with imperfection, filled with twisted ideas about God, filled with twisted ideas about love and what worship means. On one level, these Magi got worship right. They had hope. Worship ought to be a time of rejoicing and God's hope against the darkness of this world. And they got right that they were to bring the very best as gifts. And they did. They brought themselves through personal cost and through danger and through darkness from a far country and the best that they had to honor what God was doing. They brought gifts. The poet Emerson wrote about gifts. He said, "Rings and jewels are not gifts, but apologies for gifts. The only gift is a portion of thyself. Therefore, the poet brings his poem, the shepherd his lamb, the farmer corn, the miner a gem, the sailor coral and shells, the painter his picture, the girl a handkerchief of her own sewing." Something that is of your essence. These gifts represented the tools of the trade and the value that they had in what they did. And back to the wise men. They, you know, there's really nothing particularly wise about seeing a star. There's no trick in that. Anybody can do it. Stars are not hidden. They're up there for anybody to see if you look up. Now, maybe they were wise because not everyone looks up, literally or attitudinally. Not everyone looks up. In fact, very few people are positive in their outlook and consistent in their uplook. The famous motivational speaker Zig Ziglar once said that, "I am such an optimist that I'd go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and I'd take the tartar sauce with me." Now, most of us are not like that. It's so easy to get caught up in the negativism of this world and to give in to pessimism. It's easy to have your head down and have your eyes focused on the ground because there is so much wrong in the world today. And even when things go right, we don't trust it. The news is mostly bad news. Violence, division, and strife and mistrust is everywhere. Most of us are more like Charlie Brown, who once announced, "I have a new philosophy. From now on, I'm only going to dread one day at a time." Remember, it was the same in Jesus' day. The bad headlines, the violence, the strife, the division. These wise men did not get bogged down in the mere facts of the world. Facts and news and headlines and views and opinions and food and drink and class and nation and race. Somehow they saw beyond that and beheld a hope coming from outside the world. A hope coming into this world. A hope that was no mere physical view, no mere factual view could ever explain. No, these men believed in a world beyond this world, different from this world, and yet a world that was making itself known through the appearance of a star and a newborn king. And this was very wise, for these men believed that there was more to the world and to their lives than meets the eye. They saw a sign that pointed out into the darkness, and they journeyed following after it. Their looking up with hope was welcomed. Their gifts may have been the very means and the very money that Joseph and Mary used to escape the murderous Herod. They, not the priest, recognized and worshiped first the newborn king, recognized first this new thing that God was doing. Outsiders or not, they were welcomed by God. They were welcomed by the Christ child himself, welcomed by his sweet spirit, whether or not we might have welcomed them. If we had been there, they are welcome.
be they magi or murderer, astrologer or drug dealer, stand-up citizens or poor white trash. They are welcome because this is Christ's church. And they have come to look for the things that only Christ can give them, grace and mercy and forgiveness and wholeness and peace and joy and above all hope, precious and holy hope. So for their sake and for God's sake, let us be as welcoming as God dares to be. When he not only lets the outsiders, the magi, in the front door, but he also placed a star in the heavens to guide these old astrologers to the place, to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. Apparently, God wants everyone to know that hope is available here. This story of the Magi is not just a sweet tale for the funny costumes and children's programs. It is one of the most powerful stories in the gospel. One person has called it the entire gospel crammed into a few paragraphs. Brian Stoffergan says, if God has Magi, foreigners and pagans, come as the first to recognize and give Jesus the proper respect as King of the Jews, then we should know that there is nothing in our lives that would keep God from bringing us to Jesus. And if there's nothing in our sinful lives to keep us away from Jesus, then there's nothing in the sinful lives of others we meet every day that will keep them away from Jesus. And it is true. The cliche that we see, and sometimes on little pins and Christmas cards, it is true that wise men and wise women still seek him. But wise men and women never stop seeking him. As soon as your understanding grows stale, as the priest and the scribes in Jerusalem's understanding about God had grown stale, so they missed it. As soon as your understanding grows stale, you may miss what God is doing next. When you think you have all the answers, when you look down on your fellow seeker one pew over, when you come to believe that you have arrived in your faith and you have nothing left to learn, then you have left wisdom far behind. The Magi knew in their heart that no system of belief, no ritual, no program, no matter how well intended, can bring salvation and hope to the human heart. It takes a person. They came bearing gifts for a person, the person of God in Christ. Their salvation would come only in a person, in this case, the hand and voice of God, in the form of the baby Jesus. And I believe they found the salvation that they sought. And having found it, they went home changed men another way. However firm your theology, however firm your politics, however firm your philosophy or worldview, you still need a person to give you hope. You need, I need, God in Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And when you find him, give him your best. Give him yourself. And put on your running shoes and keep looking up, because you don't know where God will lead us next. You don't know where God will lead us next. Amen.
Spirit of God is on, and in fear of God is on.
Receive this blessing. Be blessed by the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus the Christ, our Savior, and the fellowship and the wisdom which is yours in this moment through the presence of God the Holy Spirit to guide you, to comfort you through valleys and mountaintops and unto life eternal. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.